to Mark chapter 5, and this, the title of this message tonight, it's number 27 in the Healing Example series. So, you know, 26 weeks is half a year, you guys. We're at 27. We're actually at a little bit past that. Throw in the different things that we've done with Illustrated. We've done, let's see, this is the eighth month into the ninth month today. So we've done eight Illustrateds. You know, we're more than 27 weeks into the year, you know that. But of those maybe 35 weeks, whatever we are into the year, I don't know the exact number, 27 of them have been devoted to healing on these Wednesday nights. So we're going to continue with that tonight. This is number 27. The title of this message is, Should I Go to a Doctor? I know some will go, you know, come on, serious? Should I go to a doctor? I mean, can I not answer that for myself? Yeah, you probably can. But let's look at some scriptural things pertaining to that. And this is surrounding the incident with the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to look at a few things. And I want to begin reading there in Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. It reads this way, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, that's a long time, and had suffered many things of many physicians." In other words, different types of treatments that they were attempting to do for this woman. One version reads that she was hemorrhaging. Now, I know a little bit about hemorrhaging because I had that situation with my nose. And, you know, when you're hemorrhaging, how many of y'all know that can be kind of a frightening thing? Nobody wants to bleed out. Amen? When that goes on, people panic. I'm not going to say I panicked, but it is a little concerning when you're trying to stop it and it's not stopping all the way, okay? This woman, we don't know the exact specifics concerning this hemorrhaging, but it was something that had gone on for a lot of years. She had gone through a lot of different treatments, probably the best treatments of the day. Suffered many things of many physicians means that she had gone through different processes to have them treat her and had spent all that she had. Do you see that? I mean, it says all that she had. Think about it. If you, over the last 12 years, had been going to various doctors and you end up spending all of your savings, all of your income that you had is now devoted, and she was, we don't know how old she was. Obviously, she's an adult, but she had this going on, and whatever money that she had, if it was from her husband that he left her, or she had her own business, who knows? Who knows where she got her money from? Had she been married, and he died, and now she was supporting herself? Was she supporting herself all along? We don't really know the scene, how it played out. That was not uncommon in those days for the man to work and the woman to be taking care of the kids. It wasn't like today where a woman may be out having an income or even, you know, all of that. But so we can't really speculate as to exactly how that played out. But somehow she had money enough to go to many doctors, and she went through it all and ended up going through this over a period of 12 years that this was going on. And she didn't get any better. In fact, she got worse. Now, you spend all your money, spend all your time, and it produced nothing. That would be cause of concern. Amen. So in just go down to the next verse. It says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. I want you to flip over. Hold your place here. I want you to flip over to Luke chapter 8 because this is in Luke 8 and it's also in Matthew 9. But we're going to just touch on Luke 8 for a moment. I want you to see something here. And in verse 43, it reads, and a woman having an issue of blood, this is Luke 8:43, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Now, what this points out to me as I read it, like a big flashing neon light sign Men are limited. The limitations of man is being pointed out here. That is something we need to see. Was the Lord against physicians? Luke was a doctor. No, he's not against doctors. Okay? But Luke records that this woman could not be healed of any of them. But it points to me the fact that man is limited. Medicine is progressing, yes. Hey, if we compare what they knew about the human body back in biblical days compared to what they know now and what they can do now, I mean, who would you rather be treated by, a doctor today with some of the fancy equipment they have and the scopes and all the stuff that they can do with computers and lasers and all that stuff, or a guy who's rubbing bug juice into you or something? I don't know. But the fact is they knew a whole lot more at this time of our existence than they did way back when. So what it tells me is even though medicine and the medical profession is progressing quickly, and who knows in 50 years if we're all still, you know, if the people are still here in the earth and the church hasn't been caught away, in 50 years, would they think the treatments that they're doing today were antiquated? Probably. Think back 50 years ago. Let me think. I was 10 years old. 11. And yeah, they didn't have computers like they do now. And you know, when my mom had that procedure for the aortic valve replacement, they just went in through her leg and went up there and replaced that valve in her heart. You know, we were talking about that the other day, and she said, you know, can you imagine the first guy that ever did that thing? I said, well, I would assume that they practiced on, you know, dead bodies, you know? But who knows? I mean, I guess you could research all that, but that's what my niece is an RN. And, you know, we have some RNs in the church. And they could tell you, but Lauren had to go in and do stuff with cadavers. I mean, that's a known thing. Nurses have to deal with that. And but think about the first guy that ever did, brain surgery. I mean, whoa, you know, that kind of thing. Whew. I mean, that's some serious stuff. Take some guts. Let's not talk about guts. You don't want to go there. Blood and guts, Pastor Dan. So, it doesn't really matter how far medicine progresses into the future. They're talking about putting little things into a person, and you know, it can run it through their bloodstream and take pictures in their blood. I mean, a little submarine kind of deal, you know, and like a little bullet thing. You know, like they do in the sewers? I know it's probably not a good analogy, but they put those little things in the sewers and it runs through. In fact, we had it done out here. And I watched on the screen when they ran our sewer line out here because we couldn't figure out why we were backing up in there because the pipe, well, it ran right down here. And when they put the big LED sign in, and we told them where to put it based on all the measurements, and I don't know if we missed it or they missed it. Somebody missed it. But when they drilled that big hole, it went right through that sewer line. So the water that was running out of the WFC building all the way down to the front, we're like, why is this happening? And so we got in there. We hired this guy. He came out. And he put this little thing down in the sewer line. And it ran all the way down. And I watched it on the camera. That's about all I felt like we got for our $400 or $500, because it took him about 10 minutes. And it ran all the way down, and we watched it, and boom, and it went brown, you know. And he said, look here, and they pointed out, and he said, there's that line has been cut, and severely, it's, yeah, well, chopped it right off when they put the sign in. So we had to, but they put this thing down there, and so they could see in the line, and I'm looking, and I'm like, hey, you know, look at in the line. You could see on the picture, you know, some like vegetables and stuff that came out of the. I'm serious. I think they were vegetables anyway. But they can see is the point, okay? Now, the doctors are doing this stuff where they can get in and look inside you, and that's pretty advanced. I don't care how advanced it gets. Man can never heal. He cannot heal. It doesn't matter. Man cannot heal. The most renowned surgeons, the best in the world at the procedure that I didn't do it. The best at the procedure. Whoo, we got a heart skip. The best at the procedures that they do, I don't care who they are. You know, these advanced surgeries that, you know, the kind like Ben Carson would perform. I mean, that man is anointed of God to do what he does, but he'll tell you right off the bat he can't heal. But the most advanced surgeries available to man, you know, like when they have conjoined twins and they separate them and they have to reconnect things and all this stuff and their lives are on the line. A relative of mine had his heart stopped. It took his heart out, laid it over there, stopped the thing, put him on artificial stuff, and then started it up again. He's good as new. How would you like to be the one the first time having that done? You know, but I'm saying, what I'm pointing at is that regardless of how advanced the surgery, how knowledgeable the people are that are doing it, the fact is there's not a human being alive that can heal others. All they can do is remove stuff, patch up stuff, sew up stuff, set bones, you know, reconnect things. And then they have to rely on the healing that God put in the body to kick in so they recover. Is that not true? Of course it's true. The doctors don't go, now I'm going to rub this special stuff into you and your whole body's going to heal because of what I... No, they can give antibiotics. They can, you know, deal with the bacteria and so on and so forth. But ultimately, God is the healer. So when we look at this, this woman spent all she had, but it does point out the limitations of man right there in that verse. I want to encourage you to always make room for God. Always make room for God. You may not know what to do in a circumstance, and you go to a doctor, and he says this, 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 and this. Well, let me encourage you, before you ever go to a doctor, that you go before the Lord of Lords. And you get into his presence and you speak with him about whether or not you should even go to that particular doctor. This woman, had she been listening to the Lord, could have saved a lot of money by not going to this one, that one, and that one, because they all were unsuccessful. Okay? Now, I know we're supposed to try to do what we can in the natural, and I understand that, and there is a place for that, and I'm not against doctor, so in answer to the question, should I go to a doctor? Absolutely, it's fine if you need to go to a doctor, and don't ever think that you can't. There are people running around today pushing that kind of thing. Well, if you really have faith, you won't have to go to a doctor. That's a lie. That's not true. You know, there are times the Lord will send you to a doctor. He put Luke in here, and you know, it does it to me, too. I mean, I have no idea what's going on here. Just go buy a new system this week, okay? Spend $1,000 and go and do it. We'll just, I'm not, you know, I don't want to mess with this anymore. So, you know, it's kind of like when situations go on in your physical body, it's like, I mean, I want to go to a doctor because he'll have an or she'll have an answer for me. Well, go to the Lord first. Okay, it's important that you go to the Lord first and check with him. So this lady spent a lot of money, a lot of time, and received absolutely nothing. Now, what can happen when people do that and they go to a doctor and this doctor said, well, we're going to do this, we're going to try this, we're going to try that, we're going to try that. I experienced this with a pet of ours that I spent a good amount of money trying to save. And after it was all said and done, the animal died. And I was out, you know, a chunk of money. And I was like, why didn't they tell me that, you know, they were encouraging me to run that test and encouraging me to do this. And I couldn't blame anybody but myself because I'm the one. I'm the one who said, do it. I was smart enough to know that if I didn't want to do it, I could say, no, let's just put it to sleep and we'll be done with it. But the fact is, at times, you can get to a place where you're trusting, and literally you start trusting what the doctors can do. And that can also get you in a bad spot. And then after it's all said and done and nothing, and it didn't change and didn't work, bitterness can set in into your life. Well, they told me, and look, $5,000 later, and they didn't do squat. You know, I know, I've heard those things, right? So we need to take responsibility for our own actions, first off. Pray. If people would seek the Lord about what doctor they go to, you could avoid some of those things. Amen? In fact, all of them, frankly. So very, very important that we look to the Lord first and then utilize what man can do. Then utilize what man or men can do, or women, of course. People reach out to doctors like somebody drowning, and they're like, save me, save me. Well, I'll tell you something. Don't ever make a person your savior. Don't ever put your trust in a person as your provider, okay? Don't ever do that. That's not something that you want to do. Don't ever put your trust in a person as your healer, okay? Very, very wrong to do that. You can go to a doctor, but your trust needs to be in the Lord. Don't ever put your trust into somebody to be your protector. The Lord will watch over you. He will be your rear guard. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So God can and will use people. It's important that you understand that, but always give God the glory because he's the healer, not the person. Look to the Lord, not to people. And please, do not put doctors on a pedestal. They're just like you and I. They really are. They just have studied this area about the human body and the anatomy. It may be now, of course, it's all getting more specialized. It may, you know, be the nose and the throat, the ears, the nose and the throat, an ENT. it used to be eyes, ears, nose and throat, or ears, wasn't it? Yeah, I think so. I knew something was going to come out. I knew that. But now they have special doctors for your feet, special doctors that look at the bones and, you know, the ones that deal with cancer and ones that specialize in blood and ones that specialize in the brain or, you know, nerves and all this stuff. Everything is specialized. But please, don't put these doctors on a pedestal. They're just like you. And compared to God's understanding of the body, these doctors don't know anything. We say, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, because if we compare what I know of the Word of God compared to God himself, I know nothing, okay? So I'm not trying to exalt, you know, one profession over another. What I'm saying is that we need to understand they're just people. And do not put a doctor on a pedestal any more than you do somebody else. It's very important that you keep it all in perspective because they cannot heal. They cannot. They are literally body mechanics, okay? And they have specialized, and it takes a lot of training, a lot of study. I'm not minimizing that. But what I am saying is God is the healer. Spend time going before the Lord before you ever go to a doctor, okay? Now, God's grace is your help. And so if you're going to have God's help in any situation, you need to stay humble. If you begin to be bitter over situations where a doctor charged you all this and nothing changed, and just like this woman here, she could have become very bitter. That is not the way that we can get God's attention. Oh, what it'll do, it'll cause God to back off from being able to help you. You want God's grace. He ministers to the humble, not to those that are caught up in pride. And the minute that you let bitterness set in, it's because you're saying, well, what's the matter with them? You know, why didn't they take care of this? They said they would do this. They didn't get it done. Well, be careful of that. Don't get into unforgiveness toward a doctor or a nurse either. I mean, that's wrong too. Amen? All right. Praise God. Go to Mark chapter 5. You're back in Mark? Go back to chapter 5. Look at verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. When she had heard of Jesus, This is where the whole situation turned around for this woman. These 12 years of going to doctors and spending all her money and all this time, and nothing was better. In fact, it was getting worse. It all changed the minute she heard about Jesus. Hey, I'm telling you about Jesus right now. And when you hear of Jesus, things change. Can I hear an amen? That's right. Things change. Things change. Again, you have to understand that some folks take this idea and they say, well, you know, I mean, a prayer, you know, if you believe in that, and I've heard people say this before, you know, well, if you believe in that, they want to exalt the medical profession and prayer will help a doctor, you know. No, hold it. You got it wrong. You have it turned around. The doctor is an assistant to the prayers that should be going up first. Prayer first. Seek the Lord first. That doctor can't heal. That doctor needs to know how to address this situation, but he's not the healer. He needs God's wisdom, so the prayer needs to come first. Amen. Prayer first. And frankly, faith has to be mixed with all of this or it won't work anyway. And this is a very important point right here, that you never receive according to what God can do. Well, God can do it without a doctor. Well, yeah, he can. But you're never going to receive according to what God can do. You're going to receive according to your faith. And not everybody's faith is at the same level to receive. So we get that, right? Notice what he said to this woman at the end of this whole situation. Daughter, thy faith, in verse 34, thy faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. It was her faith. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Your faith. See, everybody's faith's at a different level. Now, don't look around and try to compare where your faith is at. Your faith may be strong in one area and weak in another. Some can believe God for this easier than others can. And so if you find yourself feeling like you're weak in faith in a certain area, well, then you need to get into the Word in that area and let the Lord build you in that area. You know, if you go to the gym and you can leg press, you know, 500-600 pounds, and you get on the bench and you can bench press 45, now you've got a problem with your arms, okay? So I would spend a little more time on the arms then, right? You know, you can curl 100, but your legs, I mean, you can push 50 with your legs. Well, then you're level to fall over, actually. But so there's, you know, you need to balance things out. But that was something that it was very much right there in the Word. You don't receive according to what God can do. God created the earth by speaking. He created man by speaking. Do you hear me? So, yeah, God can do some really supernatural, neat things. Yes, he can. But he's not going to move on your behalf according to what he can do. He's going to move according to your faith. So everybody's faith's at a different level. I suppose there's some overlap there. Some people's faith may be at the same level. I don't know. I mean, that's not something you and I need to consider of where someone else's faith is. You need to know that you need to get into the Word. And your faith should be growing all the time. Your faith should, the Scripture speaks about your faith ever increasing. See, if we don't need to be responsible to get into the Word and hear the Word, then why not just sit back and watch Gunsmoke? Why not just sit back and just watch all sorts of stuff and not ever get into the Word? Because if I don't need to grow in faith, what's the big deal? Do you get it? It's your responsibility to get in the Word, and if you don't, you're not going to get in it. You know, it's amazing. You know, some will say, well, it's, you know, I'd rather do it without a doctor. Well, that'd be real nice. But maybe your faith's, you've overestimated where your faith is at. You know, we tell testimonies, and I've had, in fact, I got an email, I didn't even tell you, I got an email what day is it? It's Wednesday. Monday morning, I got an email from the man that I've told you his testimony before. They gave him 3 months to live, and he's a doctor, and he was in the church at that time. They gave him 3 months to live, and it was pretty serious, and, you know, it was a scary time because it was like, get your house in order. There's nothing we can do. So I told you, his wife called, and we had prayer. We took it before the Lord, rebuked and bound, just turned it over to God because I can't heal. The doctor said there's nothing they can do. 3 months. That's not long. That's 90 days. Well, that was back when we were at 201. No, we had just left Perkins, 201 South Perkins, and went to South Lowry. It was before this. We even had this land purchased out here. So it's been a long time. We've been here in this since 98. We moved in here of April of 98. So it was a long time. It was before that, early 90s, 3 months. He sent me an email on Monday. He's doing just fine, thank you. But so what happened was the doctors went in there and wanted to do a surgery, wanted to get in there and look and see, and they thought they had gone in before with this exploratory surgery, got in there and sewed him back up and said, there's nothing we can do. I remember when I got the report. I remember when I heard. She was frantic. And so it was like, okay, that's enough of this. We're just going to take it up in prayer and go and rebuke and bind. And man, just tick me off. You ever get ticked off at the devil? Yeah, amen. And God gets the glory because God's the one that healed that man. They got in and did the surgery. That was on a Friday night. They did the surgery on Monday morning. And Monday afternoon, I got the call that they don't know what in the world happened between Friday and Monday. Because when they got back in there, that cancer was in encapsulated form, and he was able to cut it out and remove it completely and sew him back up, and he's healed to this day. Amen. Now, how did that happen? Come on, who gets the glory for that? God gets the glory. Well, that's real nice, Pastor Dan. That was a miracle. That was miraculous. Yeah, but a doctor was involved in a miraculous thing that occurred. The doctor didn't do it, and he was the first to admit that he didn't do that. He doesn't know what happened. Yeah, but Pastor, it'd be better without a doctor involved. Oh, you're just trying to save some money. I get it. Yeah. But a lot of times a doctor's needed because a person's faith is not quite there to receive without a doctor's assistance. It's not the doctor being the healer and, you know, and then these weak Christians, I'll get in there and pray. And if you believe in that, then you know, no, hold it a minute. We're going before the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Hallelujah. And make declarations from the Word concerning our rights as believers. And if you don't have to make a choice, you know, whether it's all God or all doctor. No, it doesn't have to be that way. I've received and seen healings happen. I've received the healing on my wrist without a doctor. Now, I'd gone to a doctor, and when they told me $8,000 to remove this thing, I said no. I was praising God that he removed it without $8,000. You know what I'm saying? So, but then there are others that go to the doctor and don't ever consult with God and go through a lot of things. And I would say, you know, you need to get before him and spend time in his presence and figure out if this is his will that you actually go to this particular doctor or not. But doctors are not evil. God has ordained that doctors be there for people. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with going to a doctor. So should you go to a doctor? You go before the Lord on that. But don't get into spiritual pride. There's nothing spiritual about pride, frankly. Don't get into pride saying, I don't need to go to a doctor. I don't believe in doctors. Well, if you don't believe in doctors, there'll come a time you may need a doctor. All right? And I've seen this happen before with people. I don't need a doctor. I'm believing God. Next thing I know, I'm getting a call from the hospital. And I don't want to say anything. I'm not going to go like, hey, I thought you didn't need a doctor. I'm not going to do that. I walked in an emergency room. Go ahead, stand to your feet. I walked into an emergency room one time, and a man who made this bold declaration that he would never go to a doctor, didn't need a doctor, blah, 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 all this stuff. So adamant about it. And man, he needed a doctor. And he ended up going to the doctor. And it was a serious situation. And I was like, I'm not going to embarrass you over all of this. I'm not about to do that to you. You know, but the fact is, doctors are your friends. I mean, they take that, the Hippocratic Oath, to do all they can to aid mankind, So I think doctors are absolutely fine. But which one you ought to go to, that you need to seek the face of God about going, first off, and then if he says you need to go, then who do you go to, right? Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Do I have any prayer requests? Let me have that. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and thank you and praise you for your goodness, your love, your power flowing tonight in and among the people. We thank you, Lord God, that you are not slack concerning your promises. Father, whoever's in need of healing tonight will receive their healing. Father, I stand in the gap for my brother and believe for his stomach to be whole and well in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I had a prayer request before service. Father, I thank you for that and give you glory for healing, health, and well-being. Receive your healing right now. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you and thank you and give you the glory for the miraculous occurring again as people put their trust in you, just as in the Bible. We're going to act like the Bible is so, and because it is. The Bible is so. The Word of God is the truth. Hallelujah, and we thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. So we're just going to act like the Bible's so. And when we read it, like it's Jesus Christ himself talking to us, because that's exactly what's going on. So, Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it this night in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.